Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Rashi Peripherals Limited Q3 FY24 earnings conference call hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Aniruddha Joshi from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thanks, Darwin. On behalf of ICICI Securities, we welcome you all to Q3 FY24 results conference call of Rashi Peripherals. We have with us senior management represented by Mr. Kapil Pansari, Managing Director, Mr. Rajesh Goenka, CEO, and Mr. Himanshu Shah, CFO. Now, I hand over the call to the management for initial comments on the quarterly performance as well as nine-month FY24 results. Then we will open the floor for question-and-answer session after the management initial speech. Yeah, thanks, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Aniruddha. Good evening to everyone, and thank you for joining in. It is my pleasure to start our very first. I am Kapil Pansari, Managing Director of Rashi Peripherals. Thank you for joining in, and it is my pleasure to start our very first presentation of Rashi Peripherals Limited Quarter 3 2024 results. We had an overwhelming response 2 weeks ago with share subscription demand beyond our expectation, and we thank everyone for the confidence relayed upon us. Now, to begin with our call, I would like to start this presentation, our first presentation, with a brief overview. Rashi Peripherals Limited is one of the leading and the fastest-growing national distribution for global brands in India for ICT products. In parlance, we call IT products in the country. What we have created is that in about 33-34 years of our operations, we have grown at a CAGR of 23% for the last 20 years. During this journey, we've also created one of the largest distribution networks in the country with presence in 50 cities with service center, with warehouse, with sales office, and with entire branch operations. What is different and unique about us is that we are a 360-degree approach company which does pre-sales, sales, post-sales, and warranty solution, all 360-degree operations. We work with some of the best global technology brands, to name a few, like NVIDIA, Intel, AMD, HP, Lenovo, ASUS, etc. And today, we are proud to say that we are a distribution company for more than 52 brands across this segment. Our product portfolio ranges right from 200 rupees of a pen drive up to an artificial intelligence machine that costs an average ASP of more than 1 crore. And we are a one-stop shop for all the needs of the IT hardware products. Our business is divided into two verticals. One is called the Lifestyle and IT Essentials, LIT, which is our traditional and the base of the organization. And the second business vertical is Personal Computing, Enterprise, and Cloud Solutions, PES, which is far newer and the growth of the where the growth of the organization comes maximum from. What is unique also is that with this presence in 50 cities, we cater to more than 680 locations across the country, servicing more than 8,400 customers in this geography. Our board of directors comprises of 50% the founding family, Mr. Kishan Chaudhary and Keshav Chaudhary, along with Suresh Pansari and myself, Kapil Pansari. And 50% of the board comprises of independent directors, Mr. Dandiwala, Mr. Anand Latsaria, Mr. Dushti Desai, and Mr. Prasad Mamidana, who have rich experience in the field of law, management, accounts, and operations. Our key management personnel, Mr. Rajesh Goenka, who is the CEO, is here with us for more than 20 years in the organization. Himanshu, our Chief Financial Officer. Mr. Naveen Agarwal, who is Vice President, Accounts and Finance. Followed by Heenan, our Company Secretary and Compliance Officer. Our auditors are Deloitte and Pipara as joint auditors. Followed by, and with, we own a credit rating of A with a positive outlook from CRISIL. I now hand over to Rajesh Goenka, our CEO, to take us through the business highlights and about the organization forward.
Thank you, Kapil. So this is Rajesh Goenka, CEO at Rashi Peripherals. I'm with the company for more than now 20 years. We continue to lead the momentum and not only the leading but also the fastest growing distribution company in India in the ICT space. As Kapil mentioned, I think our core success story goes beyond our reach. Currently, we are physically present in 50 cities through which we bill in 680 towns of India. That's the kind of penetration we have. And this is duly supported by our business relationship with 52 top global marquee brands, some of the names Kapil also mentioned. And here also I want to highlight specifically is one of our core strengths. Rashi Peripherals has been a very unique proposition of more than 10,000 products, starting from a 400 rupees pen drive to an artificial intelligence machine, which cost more than a crore rupees. All this is ably supported by our ERP infrastructure. Again, we were the initial companies in the country to implement SAP, and right now our entire infrastructure runs on SAP HANA. As a result of this, we have been able to consistently deliver good performance, financial performance in last 34 years of our existence. Needless to mention here, I want to highlight that our co-founders, Mr. Suresh Pansari and Mr. Kishan Chaudhary, they are both chartered accountants and they started Rashi Peripherals in last 34 years. So we get rich inputs from them, especially in view of their chartered accountancy background. As a result of this, friends, we've been winning awards virtually every month. So this year we won the VAR India Best Value Added Distributor Award in 2023. Also, I'm very happy to share that we recently won the Samson Knox Global Award for Asia Pacific and Europe. And similarly, we won some awards from TP-Link, Optoma, Intel, and so many other companies. Coming to the topic of current business, while we just went for IPO on 14th, it is just 15 days, so not too many things to speak. But I would like to summarize in few points. We have delivered a very good, consistent double-digit growth, both in 3 months to 3 months and 9 months to 9 months. Our 9 months to 9 months growth is 12%, and Q3 to Q3 growth is revenue growth is 21%. In the last few months, we have added new brands and verticals, namely ViewSonic and AnyDex. One is more hardware, the another is more software and services, which we have started recently. We've added some new product categories like Samson gaming monitors. We are now a Samson gaming monitor distribution, and I'm also happy to share with you that we have now started promoting Google Pixel Watch in India, which you can see it available across the country. Further, as the business grows, we continue to innovate, we continue to expand our infrastructure. Currently, we have all now implemented CRM across West India, which means that all our salespeople, more than 150 salespeople in West India, they have all the data live on their palm. So it's a SAP CRM that we have implemented, and next few quarters we will keep on expanding to other regions. CSR and environment is very core to our heart organization philosophy. So all our 50 branches are e-waste collection centers. Anyone and everyone can walk in at any of our 50 branch offices, and he can give e-waste. May not be bought from Rashi or anywhere else. It can be any e-waste. Currently, as we speak, we have already collected some 600 kgs of e-waste, and this drive continues. So that is all I wanted to speak on business side. Over to our CFO.
Hi, good evening, friends. This is Himanshu Shah, CFO of Rashi Peripherals Limited. I would like to start with the financial highlights of the quarter, December, which we have just declared today. On quarter-on-quarter basis, as compared to quarter three 2023, we have grown operating revenue. On operating revenue, we have grown by 21%, and on nine-month to nine-month basis, we have grown by 12%. On EBITDA and PAT, on three-month basis, quarter to quarter, EBITDA has grown by 3.35%, and PAT has declined by 11.26%. However, this is impact of the revenue nature of one of our subsidiary, which is quantum-wise insignificant, but the revenue swings there on either side, so the impact is that. Otherwise, on standalone basis, on nine-month consolidated basis, PAT has grown by 2.44% as compared to 9 months of the corresponding previous period. EBITDA, again, on nine-month to nine-month basis, has grown by 15.48%, and revenue has grown by 12.47% on nine-month to nine-month basis. Coming back to standalone, because that is the major portion of our results, operating revenue has gone up by 17% on quarter-to-quarter basis, on standalone basis, and 11.8% on nine-month to nine-month basis. EBITDA and PAT stands growing at 20.26% on quarter-to-quarter basis, and PAT at 13.61%. On nine-month to nine-month basis, on standalone basis, EBITDA has grown by 15.06%, and PAT has grown by 4.73%. Our dependency on top five vendors on standalone basis remains in the range of 68%-70%, improving in the current 9 months by a little of 2%. Oh, that is the financial highlights from our side. Now, we are open for questions.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have the first question from the line of Aejas Lakhani from Unifi Capital Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, team. Congratulations on a successful IPO. Since this is your maiden call, Kapil, can I request you to please call out the growth drivers that you know we should expect or anticipate in FY 2025? That's the first question.
I think what we can only mention right now is that our CAGR for last 20 years has been average is 23%. Even pre-COVID times also, our CAGR has been 20%. So I think that is a good indication of our aspirational numbers. All we can say that we have a solid business plan and portfolio to keep on growing.
Got it. Rajeshji, could you call out, is there any seasonality to the business where first quarter is strong and the rest of the quarters are slightly weak? Is there any seasonality?
Yeah, absolutely. So I always say that the Q2, September quarter and March quarter, there is always a competition between the two, because September quarter is an online and consumer quarter, and March is a commercial corporate quarter. So sometimes September quarter is higher, sometimes March quarter is higher. Other two quarters are more or less similar. The lowest quarter happens to be October, November, December. So September quarter and March quarter, we see very high peaks.
Got it. From a gross margin perspective, if you look at your 3Q data, the gross margins are quite weak as compared YOY. So could you just call out what is driving that?
So gross margins, it's a factor depending upon the combination of sales wherein we have, as Rajeshji mentioned, two verticals, LIT and PES. So LIT has, so the combination when the PES takes a growth driver seat, the margins do, there are lesser margins on the PES. However, we ensure that our mix is optimized on an annualized basis, and 9 month to 9 month will be a little pretty early to judge the trend for the year.
Got it. And sir, your OPEX cost at a 9 month basis has come down significantly. So is this an optimal OPEX cost with the infrastructure that you have built? How should we look at what kind of growth is possible?
So overall OPEX cost, the major impact, if you see on 9 month to 9 month basis, there was a Forex loss impact in the previous comparable period, which has come down significantly because last year the Forex movement was huge and this year currency was comparatively very stable. So that is one major impact. However, on the business side or the operational side of the financials are concerned, our ratios are more or less in the operating range and we keep on driving the economies of volume getting reflected in the efficiencies of our operations.
Got it. I'll fall back. Thanks a ton and all the best.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Deepak Odar from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, am I audible, sir?
Yes, very much.
Yeah, thank you very much, sir, for the opportunity. So first up, I just wanted to understand now, I think about 326 crores we earmarked for...
Deepak, we lost you suddenly.
So the current participant seems to have dropped from the queue.
Okay.
Participants, you may press star and one if you wish to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Nilesh Patil from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. I hope I'm audible. Sir, my first question is on scope for distribution expansion. We said that we have reached to 50 cities and catering to about 680 locations. So I just wanted to understand what is the scope that we have for further growth into the distribution network, because it seems to be the key driver for growth. And also I presume that in West we have strong contribution coming from, but the eastern region I presume is likely to have lower contribution. So what are your thoughts about on the same? And similarly, what is the kind of path that we are likely to follow for growth into the non-metro regions? So that is my first question. And the another thing that I would like to have an answer on is that the share of the third player, that is Lenovo, seem to have reduced a bit. So could you please share some thought on the same?
Yeah, so Nilesh, I'll try to answer one by one. If I miss a question, you can repeat. So as far as growth is concerned, so Rashi Peripherals, again, history that we generally believe 50% organic and 50% inorganic. So in the existing businesses, we try to increase our market share. That's our first growth engine. The second growth engine is to add some new products and new brands. I mentioned ViewSonic, AnyDesk, Samsung Gaming Monitors. That's part of the second strategy. And the third strategy is, can we continue to expand our business beyond cities. So right now, as we speak, we are at about 680 towns. It's a continuous process. We keep on expanding more city coverage and same more partner coverage. So currently we have 8,400 partners or customers. So all a mixture of these three has enabled us to sustain our growth momentum, and we are very confident to sustain. So that's one first answer. The second is, as far as region is concerned, the good thing with Rashi Peripherals is we are equally balanced in all the four regions of India. First and foremost, I want to clarify to everyone that at Rashi Peripherals, we do not have a regional structure. Every state is a region. So in Rashi, we have 21 regions, Northeast being the one region. And that's one of the reasons that we are able to do very high level of focus. And that's another reason that we, our penetration in terms of coverage, partner coverage, product is far higher. So, but to answer your specific question, even if I do reverse calculation and do between Southeast, Northwest, we are equally balanced in all the four regions, proportionate to the business opportunity. Typically, East, the business size or the IT demand is roughly about 12%. And Rashi business is also around 12-13% even in the East. So we are at par pan-India depending on the demand and consumption of the IT products and solutions. And third question, what was your third question? If you can repeat so that I don't...
Shifting the share of one of the key...
sorry to interrupt. The line for you is not very clear at this time, sir.
My question was about Lenovo, the share of Lenovo.
Yeah. So what has happened is post-COVID, all PC brands' growth has little bit slowed down, whereas other businesses, the growth trajectory is high, is higher. So relatively, there is a gap. But things are turning around, and coming quarters you will see that we will be back on track even with Lenovo.
Yeah, okay. Okay, thanks for the information.
Sorry to interrupt once again. The volume on your line is very low, sir. You're not audible at the moment.
Am I audible? Hope this is better.
This is much better, sir. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So... the another question that I had is that you have entered into new products into this quarter. So just wanted to understand what kind of opportunity size these products do have.
So this is just the beginning, and when it is a beginning, then obviously the size and scale is very small. But as we progress, we are hoping that the opportunity will be big. But simple answer for understanding is I mentioned Samsung gaming monitor. So you can understand the gaming industry in India is growing rapidly. Second, I mentioned about ViewSonic LFDs. Right now on highways and every office and corporate, we see large format displays. Again, that demand in India is shooting up. So we wish to become a substantial player very soon.
Yeah, okay, sure. Thanks for the information. And my last question is, you mentioned about 23% revenue CAGR for last 20 years. So is it fair to assume that we will continue to outpace that number going forward for FY25?
So this is Kapil Pansari. I would like to take this question. If you look at the historically, we've grown at 23% CAGR for 20 years. Recently, during the COVID period, the IT demand for work from home, learn from home, zoomed substantially to grow by almost 25% year over year. So in 2 years, the IT market overall grew from a 10 million, average of about 10 million PCs to about 14.5 to 15 million units of PCs. Obviously, with such high growth, and markets opening up, there is some balance and correction in the market because this growth are not sustainable for the industry. And therefore, if you look at 2023 numbers of IT industry has degrown by about 20%. Despite the degrowth, if you look at our financials, that we have grown during these two periods by about 50%, which is twice the growth of the market. And in a degrowing, and in a year of degrowth by about 20%, we've maintained our revenues. So our endeavor is always to outpace the market growth in the organization. Point number one. Point number two, last 6 months we've seen that the uptake and the demand for PC and IT products has picked up momentum and will continue. I think the bad days for the IT industry are over, and the refresh cycle for PCs that were bought during the COVID will now start coming back into the market. And therefore, this growth will take some time to catch up to the same trajectory, but that is only market driven. So we cannot predict how fast the market will catch up or how slow will this continue to persist.
Yeah, sure, sir. Thank you. Thanks a lot for the detailed answers and best of luck for future.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, if you wish to ask questions, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Deepak Podar from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I'm audible now, sir.
Yes, Deepak ji.
Yeah, yeah. So, just first up, I think the IPO proceeds that we would have got about 326 crores, we were planning to repay that debt. So has that been repaid, and what is the outlook on the interest cost going forward now?
So, like, we have repaid the 326 crores worth of debt as projected in our object clause. Uh-huh. And our entire debt was in the form of working capital limits from banks, which were at an interest rate of averaging around 8.25% to 8.5%. So we'll be saving interest portion on that front.
So 8.5% on 3 years. So about annually we might save about 27-28 crores, right?
Yeah. So after tax will be the impact little less, 25%.
So I'm talking about the interest cost that we were.
Yeah.
And that this would have happened in mid-Feb, right? So somewhere around mid-Feb.
Yeah, so we have repaid it last week, later part of the last week. So, yes.
Understood. Right. Between 20 to 25th Feb.
Yes. Okay.
Fair enough. I got it. And I think in one of the earlier participants, you mentioned that whatever CGR we have seen in last 20 years of 23%, that is the aspiration going forward as well in terms of CGR, right?
Yeah, but Kapil also explained that two COVID years there was a very high demand. Then post-COVID 1 year the demand was minus, but we've still doubled our growth as compared to market rate. And currently the market is in the reviving stage. So far for that 9 months we are right now at about 12%.
Correct.
Yeah. So you can see things are improving.
Things are improving, yeah. So, okay, fair enough. And in terms of margin, the kind of business we are in terms of distribution, what's the margin range that we aspire for or would want to see as a steady state basis, irrespective of the product mix or how do we see that, yeah?
So, this industry is of very matured, margins, and EBITDA level is more relevant for our industry. Mm-hmm. And we expect around 2.5% to 2.7% of EBITDA in a longer run perspective. Shorter run, as I mentioned, the GP again is a factor of mix of sales mix and adding new verticals and all. So those will give a range of deviation, but not that very significant to, have an impact on financials either side.
Fair enough. I got it. So on steady state, 2.5% would be a EBITDA margin we generally look at, right?
Yes.
Okay. But generally the kind of business we are in, it's more of a volume game, right? I mean, you want to increase your brands and kind of scale up your revenue. So that's how, maybe some of your peers in this industry or in this distribution business would have scaled up. So what are our strategies to kind of scale up our revenue over next 5 years? I mean, some of the drivers you mentioned was inorganic as well as organic, and you want to expand geographically or expand partners. So just wanted to know in more details these points that you highlighted.
So thank you, Deepak ji. Our business, as you rightly mentioned, it is a working capital driven organization. Uh-huh. And the way this business works is that in distribution, we rely on our creditors to supply us on credit, and they evaluate our books stringently our performances, etc., to assign a credit limit based on that. The second component, while we buy the goods on credit, we hold inventory across the geographies of 50 locations in 62 to 63 warehouses, and then we sell to the customers on credit. Please remember that I mentioned that this Rashi Peripherals is a B2B organization, and we have mapped credit facility of all our customers. So almost 99%+ of our businesses usually happens on credit. This entire cycle translates to a working capital, net working capital cycle of inventory and debtors minus our creditors. Mm-hmm. Over our 33 years of history, the net worth of the organization was built based on profits flowing back into the organization. There has never been a history to raise capital in any form. Okay. The 2 weeks ago was our first event of capital infusion by way of IPO, where our net worth has almost doubled. Apart from this net worth that is deployed in working capital, we use debt prudently to grow the business and to infuse higher growth. While we do this debt, our debt equity ratio prior to the capital infusion was around 1.5 times. And this debt payment enables us to grow our equity base and leverage in the future for growth of the organization. So if, for example, Himanshu, what is our working capital cycle for the organization?
6 to 7 times in a year. So 54 days is the...
Yeah. So Deepakji, when I say that 54 days is our working capital cycle, that means on every capital deployed, we are able to rotate that same capital 6 to 7 times in an annual basis. So with the current capital infusion, you can estimate the potential of the organization that we can grow upon.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, from 600 crores, 326 crores you would have repaid. So 250 crores is what you would be infusing, around 220 to 30 crores for in the working capital. And that, if I multiply by 7 times, so ideally a 1,500 crores kind of a incremental business that it can generate, right, in a particular annual year.
Yes.
That's reasonably...
Fair enough. But in terms of peers, do we look upon for someone, is Redington the kind of growth that they have seen? We want to also follow the same suit in our division, in our segment, and would like to reach that kind of scale. Or this market is little different and those kind of scales are not possible for us to achieve.
So Rashi Peripherals is more niche into more run-rate business, more consumer and commercial business, and we are less into enterprise business where large deals, back-to-back deals happen. So that we are not yet there. So imagining very, very big revenues could be a long-distance dream. But as we are repeating again and again, that last 20 years, our CAGR has been 23%, and last year we did 9,300 crores of revenue. So you can estimate the growth momentum that we will have in coming years.
Fair enough. I think I'm almost done. Just one last thing. If you have to see your historical numbers, I see that first quarter of FY24 saw a big jump in your margins, EBITDA margins, as well as in your profits, bottom line. So what was the reason for that? I think what I see is that 3.7% EBITDA margin with 50 crores of PAT, if I derive the number from the data you have given.
Yes. So again, it's a factor of sales mix and the operational efficiencies which were there in the volumes. If IASP products are sold more or PES, then it gives operational efficiency also more.
So to give you a further perspective about how you should see our margins, is that last year in FY22-23, mm-hmm. our quarter one usually contributes to about 25% of the business. followed by quarter two, which is ranges about 30 to 32% of the business. Quarter three is the lowest at about 20% of the business, and the remaining obviously in the quarter four number that we achieve. Now during this transition, during these periods, quarter one is normally the usual business as usual. Quarter two is dependent heavily on the large format retail and online businesses because it's this festive period, and festive period sales on online is higher, where online sales are margins are a few percentage lower. On quarter four basis, which is our second largest or the largest, there's a, what Rajesh mentioned, that there's a fight between these two quarters. Our quarter four is usually the corporate business and the larger businesses due to IT budgets, due to depreciation advantages. There are certain investments on the IT front where these margins get balanced off, and our general trade business happens much larger than during that happens in quarter two. So on an annualized basis, these margins average out. So quarter to quarter, there is always a variation of highs and lows.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But the margins can also be so volatile?
Within the quarters, yes, they compensate each other because it's a running account business. However, on an annualized basis, the volatility is not much because this, as I mentioned, this industry is of very matured margins and the very finely defined associated risks. So beyond that, if anything comes up, it gets compensated within the system.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I think most of my questions have been answered. I think thank you so much, gentlemen, for answering it, and all the very best to you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may press star and one. We have the next question from the line of Chanakya with Markets Chanakya. Please go ahead.
First of all, congratulations on a, you know, on a successful IPO. I have a couple of questions. Firstly, you mentioned about the forex volatility that had caused the OPEX to come down. So is this an ongoing phenomena, and what percentage of the total, what percentage of the total expenses are in forex? Or is it like you're totally purchased in forex and we have to pay in USDs? If you can throw some light on that first, then I'll go on the other question.
Sure. So, out of the overall distribution revenue that we have, about 40% of our revenues is dollar-based businesses where we import from the factories where our global technology brands don't have logistics setups in the country. We go through the process of importing, doing custom clearance, complying with various customs and import laws, and then we and they are all on credit. So 40% of our business has forex exposure to the organization. Balance 60% is local rupee purchases, wherein either they will have factory or the brands have themselves imported in India, and through their logistics arm they invoice to us. So there we do not have any forex exposure. It is the direct import where we have the forex exposure. The way it works is that normally we get about 30 to 45 days of credit from these brands, and we hold inventory on an average of about 50 days of inventory on our books. And during this course, our payables are after the due date of the purchases. So therefore, we have the flexibility of repricing it into our equation. So giving you an example that right now the forex is hovering somewhere about 83, our costing is above 83. So we do repricing of our products. The reason we are able to reprice it, because we are B2B, we are not retail. So therefore, the market is driven based on an MOP, which is market operating prices, and not based on fixed prices. So we have a tendency and capability to increase our pricing in case the dollar appreciates or depreciates both ways. Now the impact that happens of Forex is that while we have repriced it, the Forex expenses that comes on our P&L statement, whereas our pricing and the impact is comes on our operating margins and operating revenues. This is one part of the portion. The second part is as we reprice our inventory and the due dates are closer to those dates, there is a natural hedge in the organization for the inventories at hand. Apart from this, we do have a hedging policy also where we hedge anywhere between 20% to 40% of the overall dollar exposures at any given point in time, depending on the view of the forex movement.
So, like, okay. Just to add to Kapilji's this thing, the forex loss which is shown in the other expense is a requirement of Ind AS to be shown there. However, as you mentioned, natural hedge is there, wherein we recover this loss through the repricing of goods, which gets reflected as revenue, not as a forex income. Because there is no cascading impact of on the document of that. The repricing is done based on the normal movement of the currency.
Sure. So, fair enough. So, you are telling me that we, first of all, if I have to reiterate, it's 40% of our revenues, or 40% of the 40% of the COGS, I would say, is impacted by Forex, and we do have a natural hedging policy, or we are able to increase or decrease the prices and recover it. But is there any chance in, you know, a remote chance where we miss this hedging and it does come into our P&L, or it does impact us in past 20 years that you have, that the history that you have?
No, there are no such instances of that because as we mentioned earlier also, we implemented SAP in 2005, which gives us visibility online, or all the operations are on SAP. So we keep close track on these movements and the inventory movements. Secondly, our credit terms with our suppliers and to our customers net off each other in terms of 30 to 45 days, and our inventory is the inventory investment is 50 days. So there's always inventory in hand wherein which allows us scope to pass it on. And just to avoid any, you know, mismatch in the cascading effect, as you mentioned, on hygiene, we hedge 20% of the dollar exposure. So in the past, there are no such, you know, losses or suffered on forex. No material suffix.
Okay. Thank you. So my next question is relating to seasonality. So I get the point where you're telling me that the September quarter is a festive quarter in India, Diwali, Amazon has its own sales, the billion day sales, and the March quarter is specifically to the corporates. Now it's kind of a retail versus corporates, right? So what are the corporates that we cater to, if you don't mind me asking? I'm not asking for names. But if you can give me that, these are listed big companies or maybe banks who wish to change their IT infrastructure, or they wish to buy new laptops for the hiring that has been done, or the perceived hiring. So is it somewhere related to the employment that is created in the economy plus the renewals that come?
So I want to clarify to all our listeners, the first and foremost, that Rashi Peripherals is a B2B company. We do not sell anything direct to an end customer or a corporate. However, our business model is very simple. We have three horizontal lines, customer segments, whom we bill, and then they in turn bill to an end user. So the first is general trade stores, typically a IT store in Lamington Road on Nehru Place or Ritchie Street or SP Road in India. So there are more than about 8,000 small and large stores and offices is what we bill. Second, we build to the organized modern trade. So with the likes of Croma, Reliance, Vijay Sales, Bajaj, Girias, all this. And third is, again, since we are a B2B company, we sell to Apario, we sell to Flipkart, and then they in turn sell to the end customer. So our direct billing to end customer is not there, but it is routed through these three broad customer segments. And then there are further classification. But we have a separate enterprise vertical which works with large enterprise, which works with government to create the funnel, to create the bomb, BOQ and all that. And then but ultimately the quotation and invoicing is done through an intermediary partner because we are a B2B company.
Okay. Fair enough. So just to get the hang of the business model, and I'm sorry, okay, fine, I won't use. So you use the term Croma and you name the brand. So if the Croma sales are increasing in a particular segment, that would directly affect Rashi Peripherals, right?
It will be advantage, not affect. It will be if Croma business increases.
Yeah, in a positive way.
Positively.
Yes. Okay, so now I come to the level of debt. What is the optimal level of debt that we foresee in the coming future, considering the 20% CAGR that we have that we have achieved in the past and we target in the future?
So we, as an internal discipline, we plan to the optimal debt for this kind of business where the working capital is of in the driving seat. 1:1 is a discipline which we would like to have and aspire for, and that also the debt gets built up as and when the business increases.
Okay, fair enough. One request, if you could mention your debt to equity levels in your investor presentation. A pretty good job for the first time, the first time you're doing.
Thank you. Yeah, so we will add in our investor PPT original, we had 1:1 to 1.5 times debt equity ratio.
With this equity raise, it will come down initially. And as the business increases or the growth happens, optimized structure as I mentioned.
Okay. One more thing, is that we spoke about organic plus inorganic opportunity that the company is targeting. Organized, we do understand that exploring new markets, capturing market share, etc. If you could throw light on inorganic growth opportunities, what would be the ideal scenario in this industry?
So inorganic means getting into new products, new brands and new verticals. And some of the examples I already mentioned, I can add on that Rashi Peripherals has two new verticals which we set up in last 3 years. The first was the enterprise vertical where we are promoting solutions of server, storage and artificial intelligence machines. Second is we started a embedded vertical which is also called as semiconductor vertical now. There we have distribution partners for companies like Micron, which has already set up a fab in Gujarat, NVIDIA, Intel and many other companies. So that is the inorganic growth with new products, new brands, new verticals is what we are aspiring. The second thing I mentioned, organic, is more within our existing businesses. We continue to increase our market share. So some of the products that we do, every year we keep on increasing our market share. So far so that Technopak report says that in the component industry, Rashi Peripherals has the largest market share in the country. While on the same subject, sometimes same product, we have two brands or three brands who are not competing with each other, but they are complementing with each other. So say for example, audio product, we may have a brand which is at say sub 10,000 rupees. The second brand could be between 10 to 25,000 rupees and the third brand could be 25,000 to a lakh or even more. So it's a combination of. So this is called, we call it as organic growth and this is inorganic growth. This is our core fundamental for our sustained growth.
Okay.
trajectory.
Okay, sure. I have one accounting question if you don't mind. We are talking about standalone numbers here. A subsidiary, the consolidated numbers would include a subsidiary, and what would be that subsidiary? Because I couldn't find the annual report.
So we have two subsidiaries, one in Singapore, where we have 75% holding, and the other one is into cloud computing solution, that is in Jaipur, and we have 51% shareholding there. Both are, as far as numbers are concerned, with respect to turnover, asset or PBT, those are insignificant subsidiaries, which are less than, 5% and 1%, it's like that. So those doesn't come under the referral instructions. However, the financials gets consolidated.
Okay, fair enough. Last question, if you don't mind. The e-waste centers, do we have a revenue model for electronic e-waste or something? Internal revenue model.
So there is no revenue model. As I said, that is for green and environment awareness. Since we are also selling IT products, all our 50 warehouses, branch offices, we have made it as a collection center. And everyone can come and give any e-waste that he wants, free of cost. Then taking it to the central, going to for disposal, everything is done by us.
Okay. Thank you. That was from my side.
Thank you.
Yeah.
We have the next question from the line of Aniruddha Joshi. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir, 2-3 questions from my side. In between there was a proposal to ban the imports of laptop and manufacture or assemble the laptops within India. Now, obviously, that rule seems to be postponed. But in case that rule comes up in, let's say, FY25, so what will be the company strategy at that point of time? Whether you will do some inventory holding or how will the company operate at that level? That is question number one. Secondly,
can I answer one by one? I need one question.
Better.
Sure. So listeners also can. So Anitu, just to clarify, this import license rule is not postponed or cancelled. It is there, and it was effective from 1st of November. However, government did only two things. One is they gave all those official distributors, they have issued license. So while we speak, we already have a license. And there is no hassle in importing the goods. Second, of course, because of the PLI scheme, PLI 2, local manufacturing was already there for IT products, but now that has further enhanced, and it is only helping us to get faster deliveries. So there is nothing to worry about. Local manufacturing is also happening, and import as required is also happening without any glitch.
Okay. Yes, sir. Understood. Secondly, what is the portion of NVIDIA as a brand for us in terms of business? And how do you see this business moving forward, let's say in FY25 and FY26 also?
Yeah, so I want to mention this, that Rashi Peripherals is the oldest and the largest distribution partner of NVIDIA. We have been doing for more than double digit years NVIDIA business. Second is, yes, currently our business size of NVIDIA vis-a-vis the overall revenue is small. It is a low single digit. But yes, now you know everything from media. Every day we get to hear. So obviously, business grows, we will also grow.
Okay. Lastly, in terms of details, in terms of the growth, that is, if you can share the growth rate on a region-wise basis, east, west, north, south, which is the region which is driving more growth, or metros versus the smaller cities, or urban versus rural, if you can give more color on the growth rates for the company in 9 months?
Yeah, so basically, Anirudh, as I explained earlier, we do not work region-wise, we work on state-wise. So for us, all across the India, growth is almost uniform, but every region has its own seasonality. But I can only share that non-metro business for us is growing faster than the metro business. So top 8 cities we take as a metro, all other cities we take as non-metro. So the growth non-metro is relatively higher, and that's where Rashi Peripherals has an advantage, because we are very uniquely present with 50 cities office, warehouse and service center, all three put together in 50 cities of India.
Oh, understood. That's very helpful.
To all the participants on this call, I would just like to mention that one of our independent directors, Mr. Prasad Mamidana, has resigned with effect from 29th Feb 2024, and we will soon be
we've intimated
the stock exchange, and we will soon be looking for another independent director on our board.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will take that as the last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
So, thank you so much for having patience hearing good questions. This was also our first experience, so we hope to continue and improve not only our performance, but all our outputs and inputs that we can give you. Thank you so much on behalf of Rashi Peripherals Limited. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.